yesterday. I did something that I've done only once in my life. Something that no one should have to do. But the reality of life is, it does come a time that a person has to rise kriya. One tears. Their garments as a sign of avelus for an Adam Gadol and for Rabbi Muvak. The only other time that I fulfilled that very difficult mitzvah was when I came up to the Harabayas and I saw the Churban. One sees the Harabayas, the Kaisal HaMaravi. One is obligated to tear Kriya. But yesterday's Kriya was different. Yesterday's Kriya I did with my son. He was learning in Lakewood. Also a Talmud of the Yeshiva Zecher Tzadik HaKadosh Livracha. Rabbi Aaron writes in the Sefer Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, the Rambam in Hilchos Ratzayach, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, based on the Gemara says, Talmud Shegolam Migalim Rabbi Imoy, a Talmud that is obligated to go into Golus. His Rebbe goes together with him in Golus. And the Gemara brings down a drasha. Pasuk says, V'nos, al achas ahorim e'elo v'chai. There's an obligation for this one who murders b'shoigeg to remain inside an Arei Miklot. And the Pasuk over there says, V'chai, and then he is able to live. Says Rabbi Aaron, the idea of why a Rebbe goes to Golus together with his Talmud, those who are wise and those that seek out Chochma, their Chaim, Beloy Talmud Chochom, K'misa Nechshavim, it is considered a death. Their life is a different life without their Rebbe. Says Rabbi Aaron, "Vin came living a Torah, Rabbi Avedo Yosef Gedayla the Nevad Mikar Chiyusam, the Mikar, the source of the Chayim, has been taken away. If they don't have their Rebbe, and therefore a Rebbe goes to Golus together with the Talmud. The Gemara in Brachas Davov." Says that Igra despeda Lviya, the schar of Hesped, is the Levaya. Rashi says, Sheyimlu Midrachav, we go to a Levaya, we study, we analyze, we try to remind ourselves of the Maisim, of the Nifter, and then we take on the mantle, we take on the responsibility. We try to take over the life of the one who has left us. Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Tovlech l'leches al beis ovel, v'cha yitin aliba. Your person has to realize the benefit of going to a beis ovel. V'cha yitin aliba. To start to appreciate life. But it's a different type of a life. It's a life without an Adam Gadol. It's a life without a Rosh Hashiva. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. And I was thinking to myself, there's a new Hischatshus in the world. There's a world with a Rosh Hashiva. And there's a world today without a Rosh Hashiva. Rabbal Yishrei, Zecher Tzadik HaKadosh Levracha, was not just my Rebbe, was not just Rabbi Yitzdin's Rebbe, he was Klal Yisrael's Rebbe. We're sitting here in the Beis Medrash, very few even know what an Adam Gadol is. What does the Gadol Hador mean? And many of you sitting here are not aware of who Rabbi Elia was, the mantle that he carried, the chrayas of all of Klal Yisrael for the last 4 years, 3.5 years. He wasn't well. He wasn't able to function as a gadol, and therefore his name was not in newspapers and his pictures weren't taken. We weren't aware of his godless. And just like as a moon starts to settle and set from the 15th of the month to the end of the month, so too also the Rosh Hashiva in his final years, we weren't able to gather and to gain from his greatness. I was thinking to myself, how do you explain to Talmidim, Choshuva Talmidim, the loss of a Gadol b'Yisrael? So some would say maybe it's like a superstar that died. It's a terrible loss. Others might say, no, it's like the president dying. Maybe it's like the stock market crashing. I believe the death of a Gadol Hador is a nuclear disaster, far greater than the death of a superstar or a president or a stock market crashing. It's a nuclear disaster. There's a different world today. A very frightening world. And without the Gadol Hador used as the tzinor, as the pipeline to bring bracha to the world, it's a shrek. It's a pachad. How the world would be this year, Tovshin Samach Tes. We as B'nai Torah, B'nai Aliyah, Talmidim, Talmidim's Talmidim, have suffered a tremendous loss. And we are a little bit aware of that loss. We're in the hole of the nuclear disaster. But after a nuclear disaster, there's a fallout that lasts for years. And those which are miles and miles away from the blast are harmed and affected. That's an Adam Gadol that is nifter. The effects are worldwide. His power, his yegiya in Torah, his ashpah, his tefillos, Rav Shiva, when he was daven, he was the last one to end the Tehillim Yomi. After every pasuk, we felt the oil of Klal Yisrael sitting on his shoulders. remember as a youngster, I once went to Rockefeller Center, and there's a large monument of Atlas carrying the world and bent over on his shoulders. And in my mind, I used to picture when Yeshiva said Tehillim. Moreover, on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur by the Yom Hadin, Rabbi Yehuda daven b'li guzma, a Shmona Esrei between 45 minutes and an hour. Sometimes the yeshiva waited, sometimes the yeshiva didn't wait. That's four Shmona Esreis a day, that's over 4 hours standing on his feet. But it wasn't just standing on his feet, it was in a bent position without the use of a shtender. And I saw him do this when he was 78 years old. When I used to visit Philadelphia on Yom Kippur. And of course, as a bacha, we all saw the Yeshiva daven like that. And you found by his feet, gusen, treren, tears. That was the koyach of tefillah. The avos Yisrael and the achrayus for klal Yisrael that we saw the Yeshiva have. When I was in Philadelphia between the years of 1977 and 1981, I mentioned this to my bachrim, Yibodo Lechayim, Mishmul Kamenetsky by the Hesped mentioned yesterday as well. The rebellion said 25 years ago that the year 2009 is a Shnas of Geula. And I remember how rebellion made his whole cheshbin. We only helped to get it out from him on Purim. No one knew what he was talking about. Yeah, 2009, Tavshin Samach Tes. Now perhaps we understand a little bit. Halavai, the second shot should be Mekuyim. Because it could be he was talking about that he was going to be Zoichet to see Mashiach in the Olam HaEmes. 20 years ago, there was something unique about the year Tavshin Samach Tes. And Halavai in the world of Pshat, we should be Zoichet to see Mashiach Tzidkenu B'chayim. In our lifetime, a fulfillment of what Rav Shiva understood some 20 years ago. The motto of this year's political parties, and specifically the president, is one word. And that word is change. And we hear it over and over in all different areas and circles. The Yeshiva understood 20, 25 years ago that Tavshin Samach Tes, there was going to be a dramatic change in the world. And there is a change. It's a world without the Adam Gadol. The Yeshiva, Zichr Tzadik HaKadosh Livracha. Was the Rosh Hashiva. I'm just one of thousands of Talmidim that learned in Philadelphia. They used to say on Philadelphia, I'm sure the yeshivas say the same about themselves, but this is what they used to say about Philadelphia. It was the Harvard of yeshivas. Finest and the best of the Talmidim would travel to Philadelphia at the Mekabel for over 50 years of from the Rosh Hashiva, from Rebellion, Libodol Lechayim, Reb Shmuel. As a youngster growing up, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I often would hear from my father, Zazai Gesund, he'd say to me, Rafal, one day, you're going to grow and mature and learn by the Adam Gadol. You'll learn in Philadelphia by the Rosh Hashiva. I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what mature means. I had no idea what growing up means. And I most definitely did not know what it means to learn by the Adam Gadol. But that was something that my father ingrained within all of us, my brothers as well, attended the Yeshiva of Philadelphia. That was his aspiration, that we should be zayicha to learn by Rebellion, who he felt he also had learned in Lakewood, my father, and learned together a few years younger than Rebellion. But everybody understood and knew that Rebellion was Eilul Gedula. My father told me that Rav Shaul Gafayev Mendelovich, my great uncle, the Menal, the Miyasid of Torah in America, and Befrat and Torah Vadas, would stand for certain Talmidim. One of the Talmidim that he stood for, Talmud. Many of us don't stand here for Rabbeim, for a Shishivas. Here's an Adam Gadol standing for a Talmud, with three Talmidim that Rav Shaul Gafayev would stand for. And one was Rebel Yishvei, as a bocha of 14 years old. It was Eilul LeGedula. People understood that Rebellion was going to great heights. And then, when I turned 17 years old, and I was leaving high school, Bishraga, and there was a question of which yeshiva I would go to for Beis Medrash. Ultimately, I chose to go to Philadelphia, and I'll never forget the acceptance letter and the joy that I had of receiving the opportunity of going to Philadelphia. And the letter, it says, you are privileged to have been accepted inside the Yeshiva of Philadelphia. And in that letter, it made mention of the achrayus, the responsibility of carrying the name of the Yeshiva Philadelphia on your lapel, the achrayus of what it means to be a bacha from Philadelphia. And suddenly I felt it as a different person, just from the acceptance letter. But I had no idea what it would be to enter inside the citadel of Torah, to enter inside the Beis Medrash of Philadelphia, and that to see in the front of the Beis Medrash Irish Yeshiva, and then having the opportunity to speak many times to Yeshiva in private and throughout the years. The direction, the care, the love, the concern, both for Klal Yisrael and for individuals as Talmidim as myself. I am sure that every Talmud that learned in Philadelphia gained and grew from different koiches, insights, life lessons, from the Rosh Hashiva. I would like to focus on a number of them, and hopefully we could gain an appreciation and extend his life into our lives. One of the greatest lessons that we learned from the Rosh Hashiva was the importance of Emunas Chachamim and the importance of a Messiah. The Shiva himself learned by the great Torah giant in Torah Vadas, by Rabbi Shlomo Hyman. Just to give you a small appreciation of his kavod for his Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik HaKadosh Livracha, when Rebbe used to give a shiur, it was a shiur that was given with tremendous exuberance. He was alive. I remember once, one of the Talmidim, I mentioned this to Rabbi Yitzstein, as we were driving yesterday, one of the Talmidim told me, first year I was in Philadelphia, I learned by Rabbi Mendel Zatzal, I didn't learn by Rabbi Elia until 2 years later, and he told me, if you want to get an appreciation of what Chiyus HaTorah is, go a block away from the yeshiva at 1 o'clock, which means I would have to walk out of my own shiur, but he said it's kedai. And I walked out of my shiur, and I went close to a block away, which is 6040, which is, that's where the dormitory is located. It was a summer day. We didn't have air conditioning in the yeshiva, at least not in the yeshiva's rooms. And the windows were open. And I'm not being megazim, this is close to a block away from the shiur room, and there's no microphone, you were able to hear the shiur. That was the power. The Mesiras HaTorah was K'nisinosai, Koel Gadol. It was a tremendous koel, a tremendous chiyus. That was the way the Shiva gave over his shiurim to all of us. It was a shiur that, in Yiddish, there's an expression that said, Eingegangen tief, tief in the Beine, which means it went very deep into the bones. It went into the soul. Every shiur, with tremendous clarity, dissecting, chakiris, in Iyun, in Amkus, with such beauty. Bochum have asked me many times, Rebbe, it gets hot in the summertime. Why don't you take your jacket off during shiur? And the reason why I don't take my jacket off during shiur is because my Rebbe never took his jacket off in shiur. And Rabbi Aaron never took his jacket off in shiur. And the Alter never took his jacket off in shiur. And I'm sure the Vilna Gaon and Chaim Volozhiner, they never took their jacket off in shiur. I'm not saying anyone should not take their jacket off in shiur. But that's a messiah of aim of a yira. Rav Shiva wore his hat when he gave his shiur. That I don't do. But that was the aim of, that was the pachad. K'nisinosai misinai. He learned by other gedolim as well. He traveled to Eretz Yisrael in the early 50s, in the late 40s. And there, he was Yoinik from the Briskerov, Rebbe Zalman Meltzer, Gedolei, Gedolei Yisrael. But perhaps the one that had the greatest hashpah on rebellion was Rebbe Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik HaKadosh Livracha, Shiva from Lakewood, who he learned by for many years, and was Makabel from Rebbe Aaron, the Amkus HaTorah, the Azaz, the Kedusha of Torah, the Mesiras HaTorah. And that was something that we saw. There was a bacher in shiur. Rarely did you have the gall to speak up in shiur. We sat there, we wrote, we listened. And every once in a while, someone would speak up in shiur with a tremendous risk. So Shiva was like a bulldozer. And a bulldozer, when a bulldozer is moving, you just stand one chance of being flattened. But every once in a while, the Ari from the Chabura, there would be some Bachrim that would speak up and ask a Kasha. And someone wants to ask the Kasha on the Yesoi that Rabbi Aaron had said. And I'll never forget the way Rebellion responded. First, he was quiet. He listened. And then, like a lion, he roared, and we felt mamish as if Rabbi Aaron was speaking from Rebellion in response to explain the Yesoid again that Rabbi Aaron had said and how this Bochus Kasha wasn't a Kasha. This idea, this concept of Mesaira, the idea of being Mavata one's Das, the Das Gedolim, is something we heard and we saw many times, especially during the highlights. Now I know sitting over here, there are different Bachrim that have different highlights. I want to share with you one of my highlights. It was my highlight in Philadelphia. Was Rosh Hashanah before Musaf and Yom Kippur before Ne'ilah. For those were the two times that the most powerful and perhaps the most meaningful shmuzim were given by Rebellion. And Shmuel spoke on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes they would switch, but always before Musaf. Shmuel would speak by Ma'ariv on Yom Kippur, and then Rebellion would speak by Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. And just to explain to you a little bit of a tumuna of what it was in Philadelphia, the entire Elzman, there's such a thing that's called Elzman. Over here it's September 1st, but there's a concept that's called Elzman. And Elzman, Musa said in the yeshiva, was extremely serious. Of course, learning Musa meant that you put on your jacket and you put on your hat and you took your seat into the Beis Medrash and you take Adam and Silas Yishorim or another Sefer, the Chayv HaSavavis, the Nefesh HaChayim, and you worked on yourself with all honesty. And people didn't talk during Musa Seder. It was taken with a very serious attitude. And then, this went on the entire month. And then came Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah, the awe, you felt it in the Beis Medrash. You felt it by looking at the Rosh Hashiva. And that was Rosh Hashanah. And then came the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Tzayim Gedalia. Rebellion gave a very powerful shmooze. And generally the Thursday before Yom Kippur, if there was one, he gave another shmooze. And then came Yom Kippur. Philadelphia and Yom Kippur was, there was nothing like it. I mean, it was upgaret, it goes without saying. There wasn't litsanus, there was no joking. It was extremely, extremely serious. The images that the Bali Musa write of what's the mood and the attitude of a patient right before he's going through tremendous and serious surgery, that was the feeling that we had in Philadelphia before Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur's buildup was to Ne'ilah. And that's when the Rosh Hashiva spoke. And one of the Yesaidis that the Rosh Hashiva used to say was what we mentioned on Rosh Hashanah and then again on Yom Kippur, Kiseida v'Kiseida, the Akedas Yitzchak. And the Schus of the Akedas Yitzchak. And Rebellion would ask, I think it's a Meshechachma, why is the Akedah referred to as Akedas Yitzchak, giving credit so much to Yitzchak? It's one of the Asara Nisyonis. Maybe it's even the last of the Nisyonis of Machlekes in the Mefarshim on the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos and Avos Reb Nosson, what the Asara Nisyonis are. But it's definitely one of the Nisyonis of Avram Avinu. And yet it's referred to as Akedas Yitzchak. And Rebbe used to say, the Akedas Yitzchak, Avram Avinu had a tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kachna es bincha es yichidcha es ahavta es Yitzchak. He had a tzivui from through Nevuah, to be ma'ala, to bring Yitzchak as an Akeda. But Yitzchak had no tzivui. Yitzchak did not have HaKadosh Baruch Hu being megala to him that the Ratzin of Hashem is to be brought as an oila tamima. That he had as a Messiah from his father, from Avram Avinu. Therefore it is called Akedas Yitzchak. The concept of Messiah being Mizbalta one's Das to the Das of Gedolim was on the Reshiva's mind when it came to Elon Yom Kippur. We saw that, we felt it. That Achrayas of Messiah, the Achrayas of Amunas Chachamim. In 1989, not long after, a few weeks after my son Shua was born, there were many medical shailas, hashkafa shailas, that I presented to my Rosh Hashiva. And as I was talking to my Shiva, I happened to mention that in the summertime, which was not long off, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. And immediately, Abaya stopped, and he said to me, you could go to Reb Shach. Why are you asking me these questions? You could go to the Gadol Hador and ask him these questions. That is spotless. The importance of understanding what a Gadol is, what a Gadol Hador is, what a Munas Chachamim was, is something that he trained us, he guided us, he directed us. In Shir and in the Shmuzin, when Rebellion would quote his Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Aaron Kotler Zatzal, he would often, in Shir, he would pause for a moment, almost rethinking his Rosh Hashiva standing in front of him at that moment and trying to give over the Shir exactly the way Rabbi Aaron said over that Chiddush. And in the Shmuzim, when he would quote Rabbi Aaron, often he would break down crying, quoting his Rosh Hashiva. And I always understood those tears in two different ways. Number one, feeling again that great loss of his Rosh Hashiva. Mind you, Rabbi Aaron was Nifta in 1962, and I heard Shmuzin for Rebellion in 1981. That's almost 20 years later, still living with the loss of his Rosh Hashiva. And the second one, there were tears of awe. The pachad was Oyem V'Noira to see the way that he fell towards his Rosh Yeshiva. Says by Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was in Mitzrayim and he was put through various nisyonos. And there was one nisyon with Eishes Potiphar that he almost had a duchval. He almost lost himself. And Chazal tell us, Rashi tells us that he saw that the muznuknyoy of Yosef, of Yaakov Avinu. Yosef saw that the muznuknyoy of Yaakov. And that gave him the ability to overcome any temptation. Rebellion live with the Dmuz Dukna Yavarbarin, Keseda Vekeseda, throughout the Golas, throughout the Choshech. He lived with his Rebbe, he lived with the Godel Ador Rabbaran. How would Rabbaran deal with the situation? Just yesterday, I was walking in the hall, and all of a sudden I hear a Geshrei. Rabbi Yitzchak gives a cry, and he called me. He didn't have to say anything. I knew immediately that that cry was for one thing. The quiet cry was that Rebellion was called to the Olam HaEmes. And we sat down in the office and we started to cry like two babies. And then the first thing Rabbi Yitzchak said, he says, Rafal, what would Rebellion say? Should we go to the Levaya? Are we Mavatl Talmud Torah? Or should we stay? And we didn't know. We were machlit to go as representatives for the yeshiva and as talmidim of the Rosh Yeshiva. In 1980, a new sefer came out. Today, almost every day, new svarim come out. We're still pre-art scroll revolution. Svarim still were printed in Lashon HaKodesh during that time. And remember one Friday night, Rabbi Eli used to give shmuzin to us. We used to go to his house. Some came for his rabbits and delicious chocolate cake. Others came for the shmuzim. I came for both. And during that shmuz, Abelia mentioned to us, he had a wonderful simcha this week. We were wondering, what was the simcha the Shiva had? Generally, we used to get the inside scoop of when Rebellion was going to New York, what was the occasion? The Torah Mesorah convention, a Aguda convention, being Moichah Keneged Kavod HaTorah, a certain Levaya, but that week on the agenda of those that had the inside, we didn't know of any Simcha. And then Rebellion told us a Maisa. And I mentioned this to my Shir. And just to give an appreciation, how Gedolim look at things. Rebellion told our Maisa in Brisk, those that follow the Messiah of Reb Chaim Zatzal, Chaim Soloveitchik, the minig is not to write the Chedushim. Chaim's Chedushim were not written until after his Petira. The Briskarov's Chedushim were not written until after his Petira. Rabbeinu's Chedushim were not written after his Petira. The minig in Brisk is not to write the Chedushim Torah until after the Petira of the Nifta. Rabbi Ochber, who was the greatest, or from the greatest Talmidim of Reb Chaim, one day was seen dancing. He was dancing. He was wearing the weekday his Shabbos clothing. So one of the Talmidim from Kamenitz went over to the Rosh Yeshiva and said, Rebbe, why are you so freilich today? Why are you so happy today? Why are you rejoicing? And just to say it the way Rebellion said it, I'll translate it in English. But Rebellion said, Rabbi Ochber gesagt, as heintich ich krog in dem Seifer von Rebbe, ich angetan der Shabbos Kleider, und ich getanzt zusammen mit der Rebbe. And Rebellion said, dem vorch ich gekrogen mit Seifer von dem Meshgiach Zatzal wie Beruchim. Noch angetan mit Shabbos begodim. noch getanzen zusammen mit dem Mashgiach. Rabbi Achber, when he received the Sefer for Rabbi Chaim, he put on his Shabbos garments and he danced with the Sefer. He felt that dibuk, that closeness with his Rebbe through his Torah. And Rebellia told us the same thing when he received the first volume of Das Torah from Rabbi Ruchim, which came out in either 79 or 80 when we were in Philadelphia. He put on his Shabbos begodim and he danced with the Sefer. That was the Yom Tov that he had. That was the Simcha that he had that week. That's an appreciation of our Messiah. That's an appreciation of Godless. And Munis Chachamim, a link to the previous generations. And we would go and talk and learning. And we would quote sometimes a Tosfos, a Rashba, a Tzois. Rebellion always told us, bring them safer. He always told us, bring the Tosfos. You're saying a Tosfos? Bring the Tosfos. And we'd walk up to the Rishiva by his standard, we would show him the Tosfos. Say, the Tosfos. So Rebellion said, read the Tosfos. And of course, the nerves would suddenly start to get a little jittery, as some of the Bachrim that learned by Rabbi Heinemann, when they ask to read, it gets a little nerve-wracking. You start reading the Tosfos, you start fumfering, and he tells to read it again and sit down and read the Tosfos. Before you come even ask a question, make sure you can even say the Tosfos. You want to give a teretz to the Tosfos, you have a kasha to the Tosfos, you want a raya from the Tosfos, make sure you can read the Tosfos. And we would sit down, we would go over it again, and then we would read the Tosfos. And then we would analyze the Tosfos. He would take the Tosfos apart. Why was it so important to bring the Tosfos? Rishiva knew the Tosfos. Any raya that you had, any kasha that you had, he heard it 20, 30, 40 years before we were born. Because he wanted us to understand that Torah goes with a Messiah. He wanted us to say the words of the Tosfos. This Vesayim Doivavos Bekeva, the Rebbeinu Tam is alive, Rashi is alive, the Rashba is alive. And we have to see it, and we have to say it. The way the Baal Tosfos, or the Tzois, had said it. That was what we saw, and that's what we learned, the importance. Boys that are my sheer know, I have many hang-ups. But one of the hang-ups is keeping a finger on a place, being medayik inside of a lashon, that concentration, that yegiyah, the importance of every single word and every single letter counts, is something that we learned from the Rishiva. That's one aspect. I want to share another aspect. Because this is something perhaps which is lacking tremendous in our door. And it was something that we learned by the Rishiva. And that is called achrayis. Achrayis for the tzibur. Rebellion is every breath, practically every shmooze. He drilled into us the importance of not just thinking about oneself and what's good for me, but what's best for Klal Yisrael. At the same time of thinking of Klal Yisrael, he taught us Ein Bechlal Elamasha Befrat. He was concerned and cared for every single individual. What were some of the Klalius things that Rebellion was involved with? He had a Messiah from his Rebbe, Rabbaron, and he took over the mantle of Chinuch Atzmoi, which again, many of us over here have never heard of. But it is responsible for tens, if not hundreds of thousands of children learning in Eretz Yisrael, which Rabbi Zalman gave over to Rabbaran to take his anachrayas. And after Rabbaran's patira, rebellion took over the mantle of Chinuch Atzmai. Tens of thousands of Talmide Chachamim today, Mabitzei Torah in Eretz Yisrael, are Paris from Chinuch Atzmai. And there were times that people gave donations to the yeshiva. And Rebellia said it's more important to give it to Chinuch Atzmai. That's an Adam Gadol. Russian Jewry, which today is almost not a subject of discussion, but in the 60s and in the 70s and in the 80s to the mid-80s, and then once the Russians were able to leave America, leave Russia to come to America, who was going to take the achrayas, yeshivas to take the achrayas? Organizations had to be started. Sinai Institute, a very big school in New York, was all created through the vision and the Talmidim and the direction of Rebellia. Achrayas to the Klal. After the fall of the Shah, Iranian Jews started to leave Site Eretz Israel to America, South America. Who was going to guide them? Who was going to be their father? Who was going to be their mentor? All of this came onto the table of Rebellia. And as long as Reb Shach was alive, Rebellia would direct his shaylas to Reb Shach to steer the course in the very difficult waters. The great Tairu Messiah organization, which has thousands of Talmidim, thousands of schools across America, who is the president of the Das Torah of Tairu Messiah, simple shaylas, went to split classrooms from co-ed education. What is accepted as a Rebbe, what's not accepted as a Rebbe. These were shaylas that all came to Rebellia. He had to make the decisions. Sai in America, Sai in Europe, Sai in Eretz Israel. That's an Adam Gadol, Rabbi Sai. That's not a small man. That's not just a Rosh Hashiva of Philadelphia. That's a Gadol be Yisrael. Talmidim. Which are found throughout the United States, but not just in the United States. Kailalim that was started from Los Angeles to Australia, from Mexico to South Africa. These are all Talmidim that learned in the Yeshiva Philadelphia and were told, encouraged, cajoled to go to these places which were basically barren and empty from Torah and to start yeshivas, to build, to be matzliach. And Baruch Hashem, they were matzliach. You go to Mexico today, there are 6 or 7 kailalim in Mexico, in South America, in Australia. And these were all under the direction of the Gadol Hador. I remember I only went to one Philly convention. It's difficult to travel. And then I come back late, and then I'm tired for shir. Rebbe was the one that told me that I shouldn't go to the convention, to the dinners of Philadelphia. Reb Shmuel told me to send the check. Rebbe just told me I should be a maggid shir, stay home. But one time I went, my father was being honored. And there was someone else being honored as well. Blazer Gross, the Rosh Hashiva from Los Angeles. Something which was very unacceptable almost by the Shiva. He spoke at the dinner. One part of his speech was in English. He spoke English. He knew English. spoke in English, and everybody was shocked. Well, you're speaking in English. And he went on to explain that Mrs. Gross, the Rebbetzin of the Rosh Hashiva from Los Angeles, Rabbi was the one that encouraged her husband to move from Lakewood with the whole family to go to Los Angeles and to build up a kailal, a yeshiva, a beis medrash, which today still exists. It's very matzliach. But it was very difficult for Mrs. Gross. But she did it. She accepted, if this is the will, if this is the rotzayim of the reshiva, then off she goes. And Rebellion went on to praise the greatness of this woman for her mesiras nefesh to leave the comforts of New York or New Jersey and to move out west. But that was what the rotzayim of Rebellion was, to be a marbitz, to spread Torah. That's the klal. Tayr Messiah is the klal. Chinuch Atzmoy is the klal. Russian Jewry, Iranian Jewry, the head of the Vada Shemitah, the last Shemitah, Rebellion was the one that was instrumental of sending hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe even more than that, to farmers in Eretz Yisrael during the last Shemitah cycle. That's the klal. But what about the prat? Let me share with you two stories of what it means for a godel to think about a yochid. Rav Shach, who had kept a very busy schedule, and to me, I always admire, I don't know where gedolim get their koiches. Rebellion once told me, let me ask Rebellion, because when I go to New York, which I try not to go, but when I go to New York the next day, I am totally wiped out. I come in, my hair is disheveled, it's hard for me to energize myself. Rebellion would go to New York sometimes two, sometimes three times a week. And he was there for Shacharis the next day, coming back 2 o'clock in the morning, walking from the train station to his home. 2 o'clock in the morning. And he was there by davening, he was there by morning seder, and giving a shir. So I once asked Rebellion, how do you do that? I can't do that. And he just said to me two words. He said, the Oren was noisei as noisav. That's what he said to me. To explain that as a shmooze by itself, for those that understand it, that's what he said. The Oren is noisei as noisav. So Shach, who also was an extremely, very busy person, and yet was never mafsik. The last time I went into Reb Shach, I went in, and then afterwards my brother went in, and we both had the same ha'ara. We spoke to Reb Shach, I spoke to Reb Shach for about 45 minutes, and he gave me 100% undivided attention. Part of it I have on film. The second I finished speaking to Reb Shach, the second he had a Gemara open in front of him, and his head went from this position to this position. Right back into learning. So he had these an appointment of two, at least of that time, of the wealthiest Jews, religious, irreligious, the Reichman brothers, had flown in special to Eretz Yisrael to meet with Reb Shach, and they were discussing of chalukah, of dividing, giving up to yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael of tens of millions of dollars. This is in the early 1980s. And they came to Reb Shach to discuss who gets what, which meister needs it more, which meister needs it less. Again, just to see the handle, the pulse that Reb Shach had of all of Torah to make such decisions. They had, let's just say, a 3 o'clock appointment. When you used to go to Reb Shach, and today, Brother L'chaim, you go to Reb Chaim, it's the same thing. You have to write your name down on a chart, on a petek. Those who have been there to Yisrael would know what I'm talking about. And you wait, and you hope that your appointment is eventually accepted, and you go inside to see the Gadol Hador. So Reb Shach was the same thing. You used to write your name down on the list over there, and you would wait, and when your turn came, the Gabbai would come in and say that you should go inside. So the Reichman brothers also had an appointment. They flew in special from Toronto to Eretz Yisrael. They had a 3 o'clock appointment, and they had to leave back to the airport at 4:30, or else they would miss their flight. And they had that hour and a half of time to talk to Reb Shach about these very, very important issues of dividing Chalukah and Eretz Yisrael. 2 minutes to 3, a person walks into the waiting room by Reb Shach, American balabas, an American working man, and his cool son, maybe a little long hair, maybe some baggy pants, nice American boy. And the Reichmans are sitting there, this American balabas is sitting there, and the balabas sees there's a list, a very long list to get into Reb Shach. And this balabas also had a flight, just his flight was at 4 o'clock. And he was just stopping off for a second, but to be by Reb Shach, and then he was going to go straight to Lud from Bnei Brak. And he turns to the Reichman brothers and to others that were there, and he said, "Can I ask you a favor? I know that you're ahead of me, but 2 minutes, I want to go into the Shiva and just get a bracha for my son." And they said, 2 minutes? He said, "Yeah, 2 minutes, 2 minutes." He said, "Fine." They looked at the son, they looked at the father, they realized that the bracha would be very meaningful. And this bracha walks into Reb Shach together with his father. It's 3 o'clock, it's 3:10, it's 3:30, it's 3:45, and the Reichman brothers are Amamish Arais from Kalim. They're going out of their mind. They know they have to catch the flight. And Reb Shach's door is closed, and you can't knock on the door when that door is closed. You don't knock on the door. And they have to catch the flight. And they can't understand what a liar, what a shocker this balabas was. He said 2 minutes. It's already 45 minutes. And then, finally, the door opens up. 50 minutes. An hour later, the boy is smiling. The father is smiling. Everybody's freilich. Except for the Reichmans. And they realize that they don't have a half hour. I mean, what they were going to discuss is more than a half hour. And they were going to miss their flight. So one of the brothers went in to meet Reb Shach, and the other brother ran after this balabas and went to the balabas and he said, "Do you realize what you were goyim? Do you realize what you caused? We came here with a special appointment from 3 to 4:30. We're going to miss our flight. And when the Reichmans miss a flight, they set themselves back. It could be hundreds, thousands, millions of dollars could be at stake." And the balabas says, "I'm sorry, I had nothing to do with it." And the Reichman says, "What do you mean you had nothing to do with it? What were you doing there for an hour? You said you're just going in for a bracha." So the balabas told the Reichmans, "I went in there for 2 minutes. I came into Reb Shach and I said to Reb Shach, I would like to have a bracha from the Rosh Hashiva." So Reb Shach said, "What bracha do you want? Like, you know, it's the candy store. What would you like to have?" So he said, "My son is not interested in learning. Give him a bracha that he should be matzliach in his learning." So Reb Shach turned to the bracha and he asked the bracha, "Is it true what your father says? You're not interested in learning?" So the bracha sheepishly, you know, nodded his head. "Yeah, it's true. I have no interest in learning." "Do you enjoy learning?" The bracha said, "No, I don't enjoy learning." So Shach says, "Lass mir sitzen und lernen. Let's sit down and learn." And Shach took out a Gemara, the Masech that I was learning. And he started to learn with this bracha. And after 5-10 minutes, he's learning with the Gadol Hador. Abshach then asks him the question, and the Bacha starts answering, and the Bacha asks Akasha, and Abshach starts answering. And then it gets more lebedik, it gets more lively. And finally, after 45 minutes of learning with the Gadol Ador, Abshach says to him, "Nu, is Taira Ziz? Is Taira Geshmak?" And the Bacha with a smile says, "Yes." He says, "Yetzich Hegemin De Abracha." And then Abshach gave this Bacha a bracha of Atzlacha. And he walked out of the door smiling with his father. The Baba said to Reichman, "What was I supposed to do? Tell Abshach, don't." What's pshat in the story, Rabbi Isai? Ein bichlal elamashe befrat. Abshach knew that he had the achrayis. The Reichman brothers were outside. Millions of dollars to yeshivas. But there's one neshama of Klal Yisrael that I can inspire. The Reichmans will wait. The neshama might not. So let me share with you a story that was said last night, or yesterday by the Levaya. And later on I found out who it was one of my closest friends. And Silver Spring was mentioned in the Hesped. But of course it wasn't Silver Spring. They meant to say Washington, but they said Silver Spring. I have a chava of mine, a very close friend of mine, whose daughter, Oyaleinu, had cancer in the brain. This goes back about 10, 11 years ago. And there was a new procedure that they were trying in Children's Hospital in downtown Washington. And my chava was recommended to see this doctor and his approach in dealing with this cancer. When the doctor presented the risks and the benefits, it was a very hard decision to make. It's one of the most difficult decisions a parent, a patient, Le'aleinu, has to make in their life, where they realize that by saying this, it can be a chayim v'amovis, mamish b'yad aloshin. So he called up the Rishiva, he called it rebellion to discuss the Shaila. How are we machlit? What do we decide to do? And it was too difficult for rebellion to give a decision. So rebellion said, "When do you need a tshuva?" So he said, "Thursday." This was Monday. He said, "Let me think it through. And I'll give you a tshuva before Thursday." Tuesday night, Rishiva calls up my chava, and he tells him what he was machlit. Wednesday night, he called him up, and he told him what he was machlit, what he decided, which approach he should use. Thursday, he comes down to downtown Washington, and he's talking to this doctor, the surgeon, and again, they're discussing the pros and the cons, and he tells them which way he decided he would like to go regarding the surgery. In the course of the conversation, the doctor turns to my friend and tells him, "By the way, regards from your rabbi." He said, "What, regards from my rabbi? Which rabbi? Who rabbi? What rabbi?" He said, "Oh, Rabbi Svei. He was here yesterday, and we discussed this question, this medical question, together. And it's interesting, he came to the same decision that you came to." Thursday night, after the surgery, which went well, and Baruch Hashem today, this girl is married, she has children, my chava called up Rebellion and asked Rebellion, "Shiva, I got regards from the doctor. He said he saw you. He spoke to you. Is it true?" And I guess Rebellion said, "Yeah, it's true." He said, "Shiva came from Philadelphia to Washington to talk to a doctor? You couldn't talk on the phone?" Rabbi said, "Listen to what an Adam Gadol answers." Rebellia said, "When you're dealing with shailus of Pekuach Nefesh, when you're dealing with shilas of life and death, it's not enough to speak to a doctor on a telephone. Because sometimes doctors say one thing, but they mean something else. I had to see his face. I had to see his facial reactions. And through that, I was able to see which of the two choices would be the better of the two choices. Picking yourself up in Philadelphia with Gantz of the Yeshiva and Gantz Klal Yisrael on your mind, but there's a Yochid. There's someone in Sakona. Someone's life. A Talmud's daughter is in Sakona. I have to see the face of the doctor to make my achra. That's achrayus. Achrayus to the yochid. There's much more to talk about Rav Shiva. I know Rabbi Nyman, Beis Medrash, have to go back to classes. I'm going to share with you one other nekuda. Before I left Eretz Yisrael, I went to Rosh Hashiva, I went to Rebellia to discuss where my aliyah, where I should focus on. And one of the things that Rebellia told me was I should build up a closeness with the Mashkiach, with Rav Volba, Zatzal, to learn Musa, Hashkafa. Rav Volba was one of the prime Talmidim, and learned from Rabbi Yeruchim, one of the biggest Baal Machshava, and definitely the biggest Baal Musa in the last Tkufa. And he told me that I should go to the Beis Musa, and I should learn there, and I should build up a closeness with Rav Volba. Before I left Eretz Yisrael to come to Silver Spring, I had a long talk with Rav Volba. And one of the things that Rav Volba told me was, you're lucky when you go back to America, you'll be able to again rekindle that kesher that you had with Rosh Hashiva Rebellia. Because he is the last Baal Musa in America. That's what Rav Volba told me. Mila b'mila about Rebellia. It's hard again for many of us sitting here in the Beis Medrash to understand what a Musa Seder was. Maybe he is. In Philadelphia, when it comes Musa Seder, we put on a hat and a jacket. And there's a niggun. And everybody knows the niggun of Rebellia. We would hear a Shiva crying, Keseda v'Keseda. That Musa, the importance of Musa, working on oneself, perfecting oneself, steiging, munning, demanding from oneself, was something that we saw from the Rosh Hashiva. I remember one incident that I told this to my Bachrim. There was a certain upcoming, very successful Baal HaBos. At that time, I'm not sure if he was married. He was about 25, 26. He had learned in Philadelphia, I think through first year Beis Medrash. He was about 5-6 years older than I was. And he came into the Beis Medrash to talk to Rebellia. And this was a husky fella, pompous, very, very confident in himself. He had long hair, someone from Muncie, someone who I knew. He had a small little yarmulke, and he had learned in Philadelphia years back. And he came to talk to Rebellia. And most of those that came to speak to Rebellia would come after Musa Seder, which ended at 7:15. And then Rebellia would either talk in the Beis Medrash or go into his office. And he walked in. I remember the way he waddled into the Beis Medrash and walked over to Rebellia's stand right after Musa Seder. And I was waiting to speak to Rebellia, so I stood on the side. And the first words that Rebellia said to this upcoming Baal HaBos, his name was Josh, and he said to him, Yeshua, do you remember the Musanigin? That's all he said. And this very distinguished, pompous individual melted. I was standing mamish on the side, and you just saw a tracer. You saw him start to shake and to tremble and to cry. That's all the Shiva had to say. Do you remember the Musanigan? That's how powerful his words were. That's how powerful the Musa Seder was in the yeshiva. It was something that we saw. It was something that we breathed. It was something that we felt through the Rosh Yeshiva. There's a famous zog that they say from Rabbi Saul Salanta. Someone once came to Rabbi Saul Salanta and asked Rabbi Saul Salanta, if I have a half hour a day, what should I learn? Gemara, Chumash, Halacha, what should I learn? And Rabbi Saul Salanta responded, you should learn Musa, because then you will find another half hour to learn. Rebellion once told me, the Ikka Seder inside the yeshiva is Musa Seder. And that's coming from a person that was Yageya, Yageya, in the Amkus of Torah. But he understood that it all boils down to character, to Midas, to your Shemayim. And that's what we saw. And that's what we lost. The Yishanli says, Lama nismucha misis Aaron l'shviras haluchais. Why is the death of Aaron next to the breaking of the luchais? Loima shekasha misasim shel tzadikim l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'yoyim shenishtabru haluchais. The loss of a tzadik, of a gadol hador, is like ishtabru haluchais, the breaking of the luchais. And again, quoting from Rabbi Aaron writes in the Hesped of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, "Shaluchah isayu akesha sheben Yisrael haKadosh Baruch Hu." The kesha, the connection between Klal Yisrael and haKadosh Baruch Hu, is through the luchais. The kesha that we have, or we had, to haKadosh Baruch Hu is through our Gedolei Yisrael. So the loss of the Rosh Yeshiva Zeichet Tzadik HaKadosh Livracha is not just my loss, it's not just Rabbi Yitzdin's loss, it's Klal Yisrael's loss, it's everyone sitting inside this Beis Medrash. It's a different world. It's a world without the Gadol Hador. And it's a very frightening world. And hopefully, Mitz Hashem, if we are Mekabel, there's a mashu of what we spoke about, whether it's in Musa, whether it's in Tefillah, whether it's in Emunas Chachamim, whether it's in Misaira, whether it's in Achrayis, we live the teachings, the life of the Rishiva. That should be a Melitz Yosha. He should be a Melitz Yosha for us. We should get Chizuk and grow as we enter into the month of Nisan, the month of Geula. Taku Shui Zaycha to hear the Geula which Rishiva spoke about. Dem Yon this year, for us and all Klal Yisrael, we shall have Simchis and Besuris Taivis with Yeshua and Nechamos.